Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
President Trump signed a bill extending funding for 9/11 victims compensation fund, which was about to run out. The fund will benefit payments for the next 73 years to 9/11 victims and their families, including first responders suffering from illnesses related to cleanup work after the attacks. The fund passed Congress with bipartisan support last week, although it had been held up. You know, it took, and you got to give John Stewart a ton of credit here. Mm-hmm. John Stewart sort of stepped down from, you know, his role as an entertainer and as a, you know, whatever that would be, right?
Yeah.
Canadian television personality.
Mm-hmm.
And got, you know, got his hands dirty and got involved in all of this from the very center of it to get this thing across the finish line. Because it got installed and it was not getting through. And it did get done, and the bipartisan support, the president signed the bill in the Rose Garden today.
This law makes permanent the financial support for families who lost precious loved ones as a result of September 11th attacks. It also provides pensions for those who are suffering from cancer and other illnesses stemming from the toxic debris they were exposed to in the aftermath of the attacks. Many of those affected were firefighters, police officers, and other first responders. And I was down there also. But I'm not considering myself a first responder. But I was down there. I spent a lot of time down there with you.
Why does it always come back to him? Everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I have a friend. He's actually been on the show, who was a volunteer firefighter who mm-hmm. went in and spent 3 weeks immediately there, came back for a couple days, went back, and ended up spending a total of months in that site as they were cleaning up.
Was he from Chicago?
Yeah.
Because I know there was a team of them that left from here to go help out.
And he, and when he got back, 6 months later, he was diagnosed with a, or I'm sorry, it was 6 months, it was a couple years later, he was diagnosed with a really rare form of cancer.
Wow.
And has been treated, and he's okay now. But it's one of the, I think there's something like 60-something different conditions and cancers that have been directly related to this that they can pinpoint.
Sure.
And that was one of them. And it's just, the people who did that, as the president will tell you, because he spent a lot of time down there, not a first responder, but as close as you can get to being a first responder without being a first responder. The people who were there, well, the stories are harrowing about what it was like in those, not just the first days, I mean, the first months, the way that site had to be cleaned up. And you stop and you think about the debris, the wreckage. I mean, it's just twisted, molten steel and debris and rock and dust as far as the eye could see for blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. It was as if the loop had collapsed.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
And sadly, as you talk about those rare cancers and lung diseases from the toxic fumes that they were working in, you didn't know at the time how many people would be affected by that and how many would die in the months and years to come.
Right. Those firefighters, you know, those firehouses, they would put up they would lose them. They lost them in action that day. And then then for years on, those teams that in the firehouses that weren't in the initial collapse, the ones that responded to that.
Right.
You know, and how they lost those people. I mean, the United States of America owes those men and women and those families. There's no question about it. Checking in at
number 4.
Radio host Charlemagne the God. You know, I was going to call myself that. I don't know why.
Who's taken already? The URL, probably.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Got right to the heart of the president's feud with Elijah Cummings, concluding that the war of words is rooted in the president's racism. MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle started her interview by asking the Breakfast Club host why he thinks Trump is attacking Cummings.
Why is he doing it?
Because he's a racist. You know what I'm saying? But we will never get, like, America to do anything collectively about racism. Like, you can implement legislation, you can implement policies, you can implement bills, but none of that will change what's in a person's heart. Like, racism is the American way. In fact, like, the Pledge of Allegiance shouldn't be liberty and justice for all. It should be liberty and justice for whites and racism for everybody else. And that's what he represents.
And now here's traffic and sports. I don't know.
What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know. He's getting a lot of prep pub, that guy, though.
Mm-hmm.
Radio's hot again. I don't know that I would agree with that. What I would agree with is that the president knows how to play racism. Does that make him racist to play racism? Probably. But I don't think he's necessarily a racist in the sense of, you know, a eugenicist and all the rest of that, you know, crazy fake science crap. I don't know if he believes in any of that. But, and I don't know if Ivanka brought home P. Diddy back in the day. I don't know if that would have worked out. I don't know.
Or A$AP Rocky equivalent.
Right. Yes, or A$AP Rocky. If she decides, you know, listen, we got A$AP Rocky free, and it turns out that I'm in love with him. I don't know. I don't know how that would go. My guess is not particularly well, but I don't know for sure. Maybe he would be different about that. I mean, he was okay when she married a Jewish guy. I don't know. Maybe. I don't, you know, who knows?
She converted.
Mm-hmm. Right. She married a Jewish guy. His dad went to jail. I mean, you know, he's open-minded. He likes both Slovenians and Slovakians. He's very open-minded. But he does play the card. He's playing the card. He's trying to pry people away from each other. And he plays into those arguments that are about that. And the language that he uses, I mean, anybody who's been around this long enough hears what he's doing. If you don't see what he's doing, you're not paying attention or you're similarly positioned. I think the term racist does get thrown around too much. I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. But and sometimes in inappropriate places and times and ways, and it's used as a hammer to stop the conversation, right? But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean it isn't being used, and it isn't being used in subtle ways and soft ways and hard ways all the time. And for the President of the United States to play this game is not. Remember when George H.W. Bush was accused of being a racist, and he was accused of being a racist because the Willie Horton ad, where they showed a guy getting out of prison, being released from prison, a black guy being released from prison, and the revolving door of the prison. And he goes, look at that, it's racist. Well, it was about the Massachusetts rules of releasing prisoners. That is child's play compared to what's going on now. You know, I mean, it's very clear what is happening. So I'm not with Charlemagne the God, but I mean, it's a debate that we need to have here. And I think the president would be, you know, would do well to not just say, listen, I'm giving them all their jobs, which is his answer to it. Mm-hmm. Lowest unemployment ever, which is still the unemployment rate. It's higher than it is in the national average. And then doesn't count the people who are not even applying to be in an unemployment situation because they're making enough money in the other economies in which they're living in their neighborhoods. And that's a different situation. And so it's an ugly situation, and it's an ugly way to handle this in America. There can be more healing ways, but the healing isn't not beginning here. We'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, there's been a record number of drownings on Lake Michigan this year.
How a shortage of specialized workers has turned summer construction season into an even bigger mess than usual. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Checking in at
number 3
in the top 5 at 5. Fortnite wrapped up its first ever massive sporting event in New York, Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium. Didn't matter how famous a player was or how large the organization backing each member was, the all-male playing field. That was weird.
Isn't that kind of weird? There wasn't a single girl there.
Is that a rule or did a girl just didn't qualify?
They didn't qualify.
The all-male playing field beating out other pros and famous streamers like Kyle Booga Giersdorf.
Uh-huh. Familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Great action with his thumbs.
I'm going to get his jersey.
Get to the A and the B on the remote pretty quickly.
That's Booga. He's 16, made a name for himself by dominating the first round and ultimately taking home the $3 million prize.
Congratulations. I'm just going to ask the most generic question in the world. How do you feel right now?
Words can't even explain it right now. I'm just so happy. Everything I've done, the grind, it's all paid off, and it's insane. Yeah.
Give it up one more time! You're champion of the world! Booga!
Oh, my God.
Sounds like one of the CNN debates.
Paying off lots of hard work. They're even giving scholarships for these things.
Oh, yeah, they, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Scholarships to what? To where?
Playing video games.
DePaul, the downtown campus here, has... I've been there. In the basement of the library, you walk in, and it's like their video game e-room. They have, like, professional gaming chairs. They have all these computers set up.
Mm-hmm. This is a major in college, apparently. Someone here who works here said that his son wants to major in this.
Yeah. Right. That's what I mean. At DePaul, they have that there.
Oh, that would be your course of study.
I guess so, yeah.
Which is so weird. Why would you pay for education when you could just sit on your couch and play?
I don't know. People want to create the games? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
These are athletes, people. We got to start looking at them this way. Okay.
No, they're not.
Hey, listen.
E-athletes.
I want to thank my Lord and Savior, John Madden. All right, checking in at
number two.
Look, just when you thought it was over, look.
We got to get it, son.
We have another one right
Second
here.
Second chance.
Oh, right here. This is probably junior. It's a little bit smaller. Right here at the boathouse in Humble Park.
Whatever. Right. Chicago police have investigated the legitimacy of a second alligator found in Humboldt Park after two men who reported capturing the alligator gave conflicting statements. And, I mean, let me tell you something, you two mopes.
Right.
I listened to you already. This is like Dumb and Dumber doing the crime.
A lot of inconsistencies, say Chicago police in their stories, and that when they separated them and questioned them, they really didn't even have the same thing to say.
Right. And then they showed up with a fishing pole and duct tape. So we had Frank Robb on a little earlier today, the great Frank Robb, the guy who got Chance the Snapper
the man.
Last week, and he said
he's living in a natural spring-fed pond there at the St. Augustine Alligator Farm. When you walk in, he's the first thing you see. He's got his own big enclosure, like a probably 25 by 25 foot enclosure with his own pond and his own cover to hide. He's got a big old sign there that says, Welcome Chance the Snapper, and some Chicago pizza and Chicago music playing. And, I mean, he's got the rock star treatment going on. He's
living the life.
He's in an alligator retirement home is what he's in.
There you go. There's your. That's where Chance the Snapper is now.
Happy it worked out well for him.
Wonder what they're going to do with that. I hope they take this thing away from those two mopes.
Please.
Or how about this? Put that thing in a cage with those two mopes.
For years.
Yeah, for like
10 years.
Until the thing gets hungry. And let's see what happens. I got a lot of ideas. Yeah. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Mickey, but you're 3 hours early.
Oh, you know. I'm just obsessed with you.
Fifi. Oh, I'm sorry about that. My Fifi doesn't like anyone but me.
Well, that's about to change, because everyone loves Mickey Mouse.
The voice of Minnie Mouse has died, Russi Taylor. Bob Iger, the chairman of Disney, said in a statement that Minnie Mouse lost her voice with the passing of Russi Taylor. Taylor was married to Wayne Allwine. Wayne Allwine was the voice of Mickey Mouse.
Oh, how cool
so
is that?
Mickey and Minnie were really married to each other.
Oh, that's perfect.
They were married for 32 years to each other until his passing in 2009.
How did we not know this?
I know.
I mean, we're supposed to know everything with the internet, and this escaped all of us.
Recently, Russi Taylor played Minnie in the video game Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance.
In gratitude for being so brave and saving us all, I hereby officially dub the Royal Musketeers. Thank you all.
Wow.
I wonder if she really talked like that.
When you call the pizza place, like you're ordering the pizza, and like
it's very sweet.
Oh no, it is Missy Mouse right now listening to me on phone. All right, wow, that I'm with Lauren. How did we not know that Mickey and Minnie were married in real life? And what was? And did they fall in love doing a movie?
Probably at work, but yeah, I would think that most people would know that they're the most iconic cartoon couple.
Yes.
So why wouldn't we know that?
Right.
Their house like was really the happiest.
Like if Homer Marge were married.
We would know that.
That'd be weird. But it would be good. Oh. Anyway, Russi Taylor was 75.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's News brought to you by AppleChevy.com.